Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We're in the 8th chapter of Leviticus, but we're talking about the prodigal son.
That's Luke 16. Luke 15. But what I was saying about the prodigal son and showing you how Father God loves us so unconditionally, and how the son had received the inheritance and gone out and squandered it. And it's amazing how God blesses people's life and they go out and just squander it on themselves. And then things got bad for the prodigal son. And he's a Jew feeding pigs, and that's not kosher. That's how low he got. So when he comes home, he decides he'd go. His father's servants had it better, and so he goes in. And the father sees him, the scriptures say, afar off. Which tells me that the Lord, that the father was looking. I think he had an anticipation. And I feel like that's the way the Lord is for us, you know, when we're out where we're not supposed to be. God's looking and anticipating our coming to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I thought, where had he been? He said when he came to himself. He'd been so caught up in his self-interest and in doing things to satisfy the flesh. And now the flesh is not satisfied and reality is setting in. And he says, my father's servants have it better than I do, and I'm just going to go be a servant. But the father runs and embraces him, disregards how he may appear or how he may smell or anything else, and just embraces him and kisses him. And he said, I want to be a servant. And the father said, bring the robe, bring the ring, put shoes on his feet, kill the fatted calf. My son has returned home. And that's the way God is toward us. And he doesn't put us on probation. That's the amazing thing, that when God forgives you, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. Then we have to learn the ways of God. We know our ways. But God's ways are so much higher, so we have to learn the ways of God. And the way to learn the ways of God is by hanging out with God, by reading the Word, studying the Word, spending time in prayer, in communion with the Lord. Not just you doing all the talking, but you just get in the presence of God and you just wait on the Lord. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. I'm not asking you for anything. I just want to be in your presence. And the Lord starts revealing things to you. You start learning things about God, and you find out that what people told you about God's not true. God is nothing like I thought he was. All the years I was growing up in church, I thought God was just out to get me. You know, he was, but not the way I thought. I could just picture him wanting to whack me over the head, being stupid and all that. And many years after I come back to the Lord, I was looking at Romans, reading Romans, and the scripture, the goodness of God, leads to repentance. And the Spirit of God spoke to me. He said, my goodness is what led you to repent, not my judgment. You with me? The love of God. God loves you. And God wants you to love him enough that you serve him in the capacity that you can serve, whatever that may be. And remember, the Lord has just given you the abilities that you have. What do we have that God didn't give us? You understand? If you have wisdom, you have understanding, you have aptitude in this area, God gave it to you. It doesn't make you better than anybody else. You're just different. But thank God we're different. How many of you ladies would like to have a diamond ring with only one facet? Have you ever looked at one? Multifaceted, right? That's what makes it beautiful. That's what makes the body of Christ beautiful. All the various gifts and abilities in it. Anointed. Set apart. Ordained by God for that unique purpose in that person's life. That's liberating when you think about it. You don't have to be like anybody. All you have to do is obey God. Just obey God.
Excellent. So we've been reading about these different laws, and you mentioned the word acts, just that one little word. And all these different sacrifices and these procedures that God put in place, God Himself put in place under this old covenant, were the Israelites, many of the Israelites viewed these as just the acts of God, not realizing the ways of God are embedded in these. Because every one of these sacrifices, all of this is pointing to Jesus, and especially when we get to the 23rd chapter of Leviticus and we start reading about the feast or festivals, and we're going to see how all that really points to Jesus. But the ways of God are embedded in this. You know, even taking a look at this consecration ceremony of Aaron and his son setting apart, that's where religion has missed it, because they turn it into an act. They turn it into a way of doing things, or a set of procedures, if you will. But God's ways embedded in this, and if you look, you can see the principle is, I'm the one that sets apart. My Holy Spirit will set you apart for service. So that's the way of God, right?
You think about the sacrifices, regardless of what it was. A sacrifice is a substitute.
Mm-hmm.
So you can sum up all sacrifices by saying substitution. Right? So all that is pointing to the substitution of Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
For us. And then we can glean principles out of that of how we, just as Jesus committed himself fully, that we commit ourselves fully. So we can glean some meaning, some principle out of this. But just remember, if a sacrifice was offered, it was a substitution. It cost the life of that animal, right?
Mm-hmm.
It cost the life of Jesus. Well, if you're going to serve God, it will cost you your life. That's why Jesus said, you cannot be my disciple unless you deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. You see that? So not only is it a portrayal and pointing to Jesus, the head, but also the body. You with me? Okay.
I think that word daily is so important.
Excuse me?
That word daily is so important. You think about the Old Testament, this Old Covenant here. They sacrificed daily. This law, they were to sacrifice morning and evening. They were continually bringing these sacrifices. What's that pointing to? That's pointing to laying down the flesh, you understand, daily. Putting it down. I'm so glad you said that. Thank you,
morning
Lord.
And evening.
Morning and evening. Yeah. Just all the time.
Holidays. Oop, don't go there. We're just going to have one, huh? No. You never take a holiday from Jesus. The holidays pointed to God.
Yeah.
Not away from God. Isn't that interesting? When you look at the festivals that we'll see here in Leviticus 23, they're all about God. But our holidays are all about self. Right? Even Christmas and Easter is about self.
Wow.
We forget about Jesus. Oh, we'll preach a cute little message. We'll talk about a baby in a manger. We'll talk about a stone rolled away. But we miss the whole concept. It becomes a history lesson, not a reality that takes place in our lives.
I was trying to explain to Pete this afternoon, and I don't know that I necessarily have the words, so give me grace, please. The more I'm learning about the Lord, and the more I spend time in the Word, and stay submitted to Him and the Holy Spirit, it's like my eyes are being opened to the fact that we are spiritual beings. What we're talking about is spiritual, and I have missed it when I tried to put natural parameters around it or natural labels to it. That's where we miss it. And Pete said something really funny to me this afternoon. I never thought about it. He said, you know, people's voicemails can amuse me. Well, this is Bishop so-and-so, or this is Pastor so-and-so, or Evangelist so-and-so. He said, what if you try to call Jesus? What would his voicemail be? This is the Son of God? This is the Most High? I mean, I just started giggling to myself, thinking Jesus would never do that. He'd never. But I don't know. I'm excited about this, and I appreciate that the Spirit of the Lord is leading us this evening, because I know my heart He's given me revelation this evening. There's so much we can glean from this.
You know, if you were translating Paul's writing in modern day vernacular, when he is opening up his letters, it would be Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to represent Him. That's what he's saying. No titles.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle's a delegate. A delegate's a representative. And if you look at the word servant, it's the Greek word doulos, and the Greek word doulos is slave. Now, what does that mean? It means Jesus owns you. There's a difference between a servant and a slave. A servant works for wages. A slave is owned. And at the beckoning call of the master, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the difference. So, am I a slave or a servant of the Lord? Does he own me? Can he call on me? And expect a positive response. Too many runaway slaves. We don't need to be running away from the Lord. We need to be running to Him. Amen.
Amen. We ready?
All right.
To pick up verse 14? Okay, chapter 8 of Leviticus, verse 14. And he, this is Moses.
Before we start reading,
yes, sir.
Let me remind you of what's going on. This is the consecration of everything that's going to represent the Lord. The people, the whole tabernacle complex, that's what is going through. Before we got the instructions, God gave Moses the instructions on what to do to consecrate, anoint, set apart, sanctify. You get me?
Yep.
Now we're seeing the actual process of this consecration and this anointing.
And it involved so much more than just the garments that Aaron and his sons were to wear. And so we're going to start right away with this 14th verse. There's going to be the protocols established for a sin offering here. So he, this is Moses, and he brought the bullock for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering.
So the first thing that had to be done was the one who was going to represent the people had to be set apart so he could represent the people. Mm-hmm. And because he is not sinless, then the sacrifice has to be offered. A substitute has to give his life, that sin, to take the place of Aaron. You understand? It's the sin offering is what it's called in the process of this dedication. So you have to get the leadership right first. And something to pay attention to here is Moses is the one offering, is the one consecrating. He is the act of consecration, and then Aaron is phased in, right? Offer a sacrifice for yourself. There has to be a sacrifice for you first before you can offer sacrifice for the people. So you take care of you before you try to take care of others.
And then look at this 15th verse, and he slew it. I don't know why that really stuck out to me this afternoon. Moses was the one that killed this animal. And he slew it, and Moses took the blood and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger and purified the altar and poured the blood at the bottom of the altar and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it.
See, Moses is having to do this for Aaron.
Yeah.
Okay, because Aaron's not ready. He's got to get ready. He has to get properly prepared. The laying on the hands, his hands on this animal is identification mm-hmm. of I'm transferring the sin on me onto you, and so you're going to die for me as the sin offering. And so then Moses kills this on behalf of Aaron, okay, to get him consecrated, clean, pure, sanctified, okay?
Mm-hmm. Verse 16, and he took all the fat that was upon the inwards, and the caul above the liver, and the two kidneys and their fat, and Moses burned it upon the altar.
In other words, we've already read this, that what he's supposed to do, now he is actually doing this. Remember, the fat's the Lord's. Okay? And so he offers this just exactly like God tells him. Excuse me. God tells him to offer it. Now, to me, there's some significance here in internal parts versus external parts. We'll see as we go along how external parts were taken out of the camp and burned up. Mm-hmm. The internal was offered up to the Lord. As cute as you may think you are, God does not want your flesh. Mm-hmm. But he desires your spirit. He desires the real you. You follow me? Okay. What did Jesus give up? He gave, the flesh was killed. But the spirit is what went into the heart of the earth and brought out the captives who had been held there. You follow me? And so I want you to see this distinction between internal and external.
Verse 17, but the bullock and his hide, his flesh and his dung, he burnt with fire without the camp, as the Lord commanded Moses.
That's what we're talking about. That's the externals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other than your guts. God doesn't need yours. You need His confidence, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the external part of the animal and its waste was annihilated. The internal organ was offered to the Lord. And so it appears to me, okay, this is how I see it, that it's a demonstration of what the Lord desires for the Christian to do. That you give your heart, internal, to the Lord, and reckon your external lifestyle as a thing of the past that you no longer follow, you put it to death. Okay? Paul in Romans says you reckon yourself dead, which means you consider yourself to be dead to the carnality, but very much alive through the Spirit of God.
Okay. And he brought the ram for the burnt offering, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he killed it, and Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about.
So here Moses is still in the consecration process for Aaron. Moses is doing the sacrificing not only for Aaron, but also for his sons who are going to be priests, representatives of the Lord. They're representing the people to God, God to the people.
And he cut the ram into pieces, and Moses burnt the head and the pieces and the fat. And he washed the inwards and the legs in water. And Moses burnt the whole ram upon the altar. It was a burnt sacrifice for a sweet savor, and an offering made by fire unto the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses.
So this is a burnt offering. The other sin offering. This is a burnt offering. Aaron and his sons, they put their hands on the head. Then Moses kills it and sprinkles the blood around the base of the altar. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin, right?
I think we talked about this before, about the inwards being washed and the legs being washed. Should we talk about that? That really made an impression on me about how that points to us with the washing of the water with the Word, how we want our inward man washed with that water of the Word in our lifestyle, our walk. Verse 22, and he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram. And Aaron slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear and upon the thumb of his right hand and upon the great toe of his right foot.
Okay, in verses 20 and 21, you see how Moses cuts the ram into pieces.
Oh.
Burns its head, the pieces, the fat, washes the internal organs. We have to be clean inside, legs with water, walk, and then burn the whole ram on the brass altar as a burnt offering to the Lord. It says the aroma was pleasant to the Lord. And Moses did everything by the protocol of God, just exactly like God wanted. Then he brings forth the other ram that was sacrificed for consecration of Aaron and his sons. And here again, by identifying with the ram, they lay their hands on his head, and Moses killed the ram, and he took the blood of the ram, some of it, placed it on the lobe of the right ear, thumb of the right hand, and the big toe of the right foot. Now, what's the significance of that? Well, the blood being put on the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe of Aaron and his sons seems to me to be speaking of hearing, the actions, and the walk or lifestyle. And so one who ministers before the Lord needs to hear the Lord and then act according to the word of the Lord that he hears and be led by the Spirit. And when these three things are in order, our lives will be pleasing to the Lord. We'll become more effective ministers. Your hearing needs to be sanctified, set apart for God. What you do, your work with your hands and all, you need to be set apart to God. Your walk needs to be set apart to God. You with me? That pretty much entails the whole you. What you hear, what you do, how you act, your lifestyle. Okay? Needs to be set apart. Now, if you're going to represent God to the people and the people to God, then you're going to have to do it God's way. You can't come up with your own idea, but you have to do it God's way. And the only way that you can do it God's way is to get the instructions from God. You can't go on the internet and get your messages. You understand? You can't follow somebody else's outline, get your own messages. You can't just sit down and fabricate. But you need to be hearing. And then you put into practice what you hear. And then you lead by example. A lot of people try to drive, a lot of ministers try to drive the people. The shepherd leads the sheep. He doesn't drive the sheep. That means you go before them. I believe, you know, this is a personal conviction of mine, that if I expect you to do something, then I should do it myself. I wouldn't want somebody, ask somebody to do something that I wouldn't do. And so you can relate to the people. If you've been there and you've done that, then you can understand what's going on with the people. You can understand a dedication. You can understand a commitment. You can understand just sucking it up to get the job done. You know what I mean? Not everything you do for the Lord is pleasant. Mm-hmm. Some things are more difficult than other things, but because you're doing it for the Lord, it makes it pleasant, the end result of it, okay? So don't ask people to do what you want. If you won't sweep the floor, don't ask them to. If you won't clean a commode, don't ask them to. And we're in a society today that just wants to point. You do this, you do this, and you do that. God sets ministry gifts, but I don't see that God has put anybody in there with the title of boss. Lead by example. Isn't it amazing how Moses is doing all this as an example of what God is requiring to be done? Moses is giving them a pattern to go by. Mm-hmm. Then they're to follow that pattern.
Let's keep going with this. As far as when you're hearing, when your actions, when your walk, your lifestyle, when all these things are in order, that's when our lives will be pleasing to the Lord. That's when it's going to be a sweet aroma to Him.
You know, in contrast to that, I think of Jezebel.
Hmm.
How when Jehu had her thrown down and then he ran his horses over the top of her, and he goes in to eat, and he gets through, and he says, well, you know, she was the daughter of the king. I mean, she deserves a burial. They go out there, and all they find is the skull, the hands, the bones, and the feet. And because the dogs had ate the rest of her. And I remember Jane teaching, I thought it was so profound, how she said even the dogs didn't want her thinking, didn't want her ways, and didn't want her walk.
Wow.
The dogs rejected that. You with me?
Yeah.
But how this was anointed.
Yeah.
Anointed to be acceptable to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody can hear God. If you're a sheep. Now put the if in there. If you're a sheep. John 10 says, Jesus himself says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. A lot of people who are calling themselves sheep are following voices of strangers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, according to the Word of God, if you follow the voice of a stranger, you're not a sheep. So that's why I contend that sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Now, to me, the Word of God is a voice. Sheep know what's in agreement with the Word and what's not in agreement with the Word. You with me?
Yeah.
That's why we put so much emphasis on getting the Word established in your heart. You read for familiarity. You study for revelation. But you constantly read the Bible. Never stop. Then when someone says the Bible says, no, nope, yeah. That's not the voice of my shepherd. You'll know it immediately. Or when you hear something, yeah, that's the shepherd talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You'll know the difference. You'll know what's strange, and you'll know the true voice. Not someone mimicking, impersonating. Okay.
Very good. And I realize that we're talking about Aaron and his sons, ministers that were standing before the Lord, before the people, acting in some cases as a liaison, so to speak. But we've studied that word ministers out, right? And we know it's ministry is service. And so all of us are ministers in our own right. And so that means, too, our hearing, our actions, our walk, all of those need to be aligned with the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I'm going to keep bringing this back. I just feel so prompted on the inside. And this is, I've mentioned this to Pete earlier today. I'm just so prompted. You're important. You're a minister for the Lord. You might not pastor a church. You might not have the title of minister. But you're a minister for the Lord, you understand?
You know, if you actually look at that word in the Greek, you have diakonia, which is the position. You have diakonos, which is the person. You have diakonia, which is the service. And if you look at the definition of that, a diakonos is a waiter, one who waits on tables. The service is waiting on the table. And so the position is, he's a waiter, right? Now, not all waiters work at the same restaurant, do they?
Mm-mm.
They don't all go about things the same way, do they? Each restaurant has its own protocol of how things are to be done. Well, whatever restaurant you're working in, you do it God's way. You listen to the master.
Yeah.
But just remember that you are a waiter on table. And if you'll keep this in your mind, that I'm a servant of the Lord, that means I serve the Lord. I don't look for people to serve me. You following? And that's why I struggle a little bit with these birthday celebrations and stuff like that. And you guys were so gracious to me, and I can't thank you enough. It's because I'm anointed to serve you. That's how I serve the Lord. One of the ways is in serving you, so I almost feel guilty the other way. You follow me? And to me, that's how your heart should be. Not what can you do for me. I do not like Pastor Appreciation Day. If you don't appreciate me, why lie to me one day? You understand? No, we appreciate one another every day. We appreciate the ministry gifts that God has given us. You understand? And so we all see ourselves servants of the Lord. So let's serve the Lord. Amen? Time's up, so we have to stop.
Okay.
I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand's with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. The Lord will invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you flee before you. Amen.
Amen.
You guys have a great